Welcome to another episode of Kentucky Football Carpool Show. I'm Nick.
I'm Mike.
And finally, week one.
Week one's here.
God, I just like every year this time, I get so excited. Me and Mike were talking about this earlier in the week. I start thinking about all the walk up, the smells, the sights, the sounds. It was something that I really didn't realize was, I shouldn't say what I didn't realize was that great. I kind of took for granted for before the COVID year. And then the COVID year happened, and it was like walking into like class for the day.
Yeah, it was quiet. There wasn't a whole lot going on. Yeah.
And no one's talking. It was just like, you know, we're going in there and basically going to see a quick game. It was just really silent.
It was very odd.
Very, very odd. Something I'll never finally forget. But yeah, it was a weird year. And now, since last year and year, now I just like walking up to that gate. What gate do we walk through, Mike? What gate one in or something like that?
Gate four.
It's gate four. Yeah. Gate four. That's it. Yeah. Gate four. And you get like, it's basically a street, but you get both sides has tailgating on it. And both sides is loud. People are talking crap to the opposing teams as they walk in. It's exciting. You feel that tension. Now you feel a little bit more for like a Georgia or something like that. But just that opening game, and it's finally a night game. It sounded like it's going to be sold out, if not pretty close to sold out. We've had a really difficult time selling out home openers on Mark Stoops. Now there's a lot of reasons for that. You know, obviously most of them are noon games, and Mike and I will tell you, those noon games can get really, really hot.
Oh, brutally hot.
I mean, that year.
Burn your skin on the bleachers hot.
That year before the COVID was at 2019, I guess.
Yeah.
Remember how hot that stadium was? I mean, we could move on our seat. It was steaming.
Oh, it was awful. Awful.
I forgot who we played, but it was a beatdown, but it was kind of sad because it was like only like 60% full.
Yeah.
And which is kind of like, you know, if we want to be serious, you know, I'm one of those persons. It's like, you know, we should sell it every game. But I get it. Everyone's got their money, and you want to prioritize the game you go to when you got to go. And I get all that stuff, man. That's why we're big football fans. You know, we were always able to afford the football tickets.
Right.
So I get all that stuff. But I feel like when you get in the SEC play, you should sell it at every game, no matter if it's Vandy or Mississippi State or Arkansas, or whoever the guys that aren't usually, you know, they're is good every year. You know, I guess you're not as exciting games.
Right.
You know, Arkansas is great this year. I mean, Mississippi State's been great, but this saying like a Vandy type of teams, Missouri, stuff like that. We should be selling those games out.
Right.
But I'm getting off task here. But we did get our first depth chart. Obviously for week one, we're gonna get our depth chart. And I noticed that the first thing that came out to me was Burton starting over Horsey. I put that out on Twitter, but realized that in the press conference they said Horsey's kind of banged up.
Yeah,
he's gonna be the starter if he's good to go. Doesn't sound like he's gonna play much this week, but I can imagine him not playing against Florida.
Right.
They also put out the captains this week or today, literally today.
Yeah.
You have Levis, Square for the third year.
Yeah, Square.
Yeah, Rodriguez,
Jones.
Yeah, Horsey. You just had guys that you expected to be on there.
Yeah, Jordan Wright.
Yeah, guys you expect to be on there. Obviously, we don't know what's going on with Rodriguez. We're assuming it's a suspension. Mark Stoops said suspension and came back, said he's unavailable. Who knows what's going on there? The one position I don't really stress out about is that one. So, it looks like Kavassier Smoke is going to get his chance to shine. And he is labeled as running back one. You know, Bates is
tight end one. Man. He's earned the right to be running back one in that locker room.
I agree with you on that. And you know, and I've been kind of hard on Smoke on some things where it's like, you know, he's got to play through sometimes being banged up. He got to play through it. He's obviously has, I guess, had some locker room issues, social media issues, I guess I should say. I don't really get at it. But at the end of the day, Smoke has stuck it out. That's what you want. You don't see that on athletes anymore.
Yeah.
Most guys, they lose their spot, they leave. Smoke has stuck it out. You know, we were really high on him early. Obviously, Rodriguez came along and kind of took that spot.
Right.
You know, we always kind of looked at maybe being Smoke's year this year when Rodriguez comes back. And Smoke is still stuck with the program, and he has become – he's running back one. And he's probably going to be running back. If I was going to be guessing, he'll be the starting running back. I wouldn't say he's going to get all the snaps, but
no,
not as much as Rodriguez would have. But 15, probably
15 snaps. To 20. I bet he gets 15 to 20.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair enough to assess. I think Rodriguez, when he comes back, he'll get 25 to 30.
Yeah, well, that's because Rodriguez is that style back. He can handle 25 to 30.
I agree with you on that. But you know, Smoke, they say he's been great. He's been awesome in spring ball and in this early fall practice. So he's earned that right. Hopefully, he shows out and does good against Miami, Ohio, our first week, Youngstown State. And I would say Rodriguez, I would be prepared to say at least two. But they probably will go ahead and roll that Youngstown State one in there just to kind of make a point there. So and that's because you also he has multiple things going on. Not just I think DUI is going to get him one, and then the two other. I think two games. I mean, what I've heard. I don't even want to put the rumors out there, but I've heard it is not a very good look. But it's probably not something. He's probably not the first athlete to do it. So
no, he's not.
It sounds like Jordan Wright that was involved with it as well. He's not playing either. So, but. You know, time will tell. These guys, people forget. I mean, I get it. They're adults, stuff like that. They're kids. So, I mean, you know, they're young.
Right.
They do stupid stuff. They learn from it, and we move on from it. You know, some other people in our rivals are obviously going to be up in arms about it. Whatever. I mean, you know, Louisville fans, they really want about it. Their team, their whole program has been a mess for so long.
Right. No shit.
So, I mean, come on. I mean,
pick a sport, and we'll find you a cheater in that.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. So, we got this week. We got Miami, Ohio. A really good I actually appraised the schedule this year that I ever had.
Yeah.
I think Louisville's a pretty solid. It's going to be a pretty solid ACC team. They're not even near our level,
right?
And Miami, Ohio is picked to win. It's who we play this week. They're picked to win the East. There's in the MAC division.
Yeah.
And the other team we play out of the MAC division, Northern Illinois, which is a good team.
Oh yeah.
And will be give us a lot of fits. It's supposed to pick was picked to win the win the West division, and they're picked to win the whole MAC.
Right.
So if you're going to get outside the Power Five, you're going to get kind of like those mid-major type schools. I know we don't really call it that in football, but mid-major type of schools. We got some top-tier mid-majors, I would think.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think the MAC serves a purpose. We've been playing MAC teams, the last 3 or 4 years, it feels like.
Yeah.
We had Toledo. We had, Eastern Michigan. Then we played Kent State 1 year. But they're all – they're all kind of good, similar. They're all really good style. Most of those MAC teams are really pass heavy teams.
Right.
It seems like, and Miami, Ohio,
is a pass heavy team.
Yes. They're very good offensively. Got to get down here.
Their quarterback was averaging 341 yards a game.
Yes. Yes. Their offense was averaging 23, 30 points a game last year. Now with the big thing with their offense this year, now they have him come back. His name's Brett
Gabbert. Yeah, Brett Gabbert.
Yeah, he had 26 touchdowns last year. He rolled up, 3,600 yards, 32 touchdowns with 8 picks, a pretty good number, 32 versus 8. And, you know, he lost one of his top receiver, but they have another receiver coming in here. His name is Hempenhammer. Interesting last name. I like it.
Yeah. Good old Hempenhammer.
Yeah, old Hempenhammer. And they also have a down throw. They also have a tight end that's very good, too. From their skill positions, they're pretty good. They have most of their guys coming back. Seems like they're pretty solid running back too. But their big thing is they lost a lot on the offensive line.
Right.
So not real. I shouldn't say a lot because they do have 4 returning stars, but they're not very good up front. I should rephrase that. They're not very good up front.
Yeah. If they had a weakness on offense, it's their line.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They gave up 21 sacks last year. So.
Yeah.
But you know they're pretty solid offensively, I would say. I mean, we're going to see a lot better offenses throughout the year, but as far as starting off game one against Miami, and honestly, the spread started at 17.5 and it's down to 16.5. So that's a whole point.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I don't really get involved in Kentucky against the spread has been unbelievable. And Kentucky with the spread actually has been pretty good too.
Right.
And I don't really get too much into week one and these outrageous spreads where they move and stuff like that. But I do think if Kentucky goes off at 16.5, I think you should throw all your money on there because I think Kentucky's going to win by 21.
Yeah.
And it's not a knock on Miami, Ohio. Miami, Ohio last year was 6-6. Just to kind of put that out there. They're probably better this year, but they were 6-6 last year. So,
right. Here's an interesting fact about Miami, Ohio, real quick. Do you know that was Mark Stoops' first win as a Kentucky coach was against them?
Did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah, 2013.
Wow. Did not know that.
And we end up winning that game 41-7.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Good. Hey, I see you coming in with history. Yeah. I'm doing that now.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good. But no, I'm just glad we're playing like a pretty decent opponent to start off with. I mean, we used to start off with like those Middle Tennessees or EK, even like EKU or something like that.
UT Martins.
Yeah. And, I mean, I get it. I do get it from standpoint. I'm really anti playing the, what is it? FCS or was it?
FCS.
We used to always call them D2, but I know they've rechanged the names, but D2 teams.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think we get nothing out of it. I do get that it's like an extra bye week, but it seems like Kentucky underneath Stoops is like, they usually like flame out those games. They start off bad. They're real ugly games. And it's like, we there's more risk than reward.
Right.
You know what I mean? When it comes to those things, I think we could play a team like Miami, Ohio, even like a low tier ACC team, U of L, we get pretty of rest when it gets those teams.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Louisville's probably the second worst team on our schedule.
Well, yeah.
I mean, just going to throw that out here. I'd take Miami and Northern Illinois.
Probably. I mean, you know, like Louisville has like 10, like 6-year guys.
Yeah.
Playing on a team.
Well, Miami has their middle linebacker is a 7-year guy.
Well, there you go. Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Yeah. I think that they're, as far as their defense goes, I think that they're pretty solid defenses as far as their conference goes.
Yeah.
I think they were second in scoring last year, if I read that correctly. They lost their big sack leader, but same time, I think they're getting a good rotation up front on their defensive line. I think they're pretty decent our defensive line. I think it's a good test for our offensive line, which is coming in.
Miami did lose 5 of their top 6 tacklers from last year.
Yes, I mean, that's what I'm saying. They're kind of coming in real in there a little bit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, their defense, I think it's going to be a good test for our offense.
Yeah, also have a new defensive coordinator.
Well, who is it, do you know?
Shoot, I just read it, too. What's his name? I was just reading about him.
Well, regardless, they're getting a new transfer. So they're having a transition on their defense as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Kentucky should not have an issue with Miami, Ohio. I just think you play a MAC team that goes 6-6, you should win by 3 touchdowns. This is my opinion.
You have to. If we're going to be as good as everybody thinks we are and could possibly be an upset in the East, you have to beat the shit out of teams like this.
Yes, it's a good test for someone like, Wallaball, who's getting a start this year. You had left tackle. You got, you know, and I think Goodwin will probably start about into the season. I really do think that. I think they're just saving time. I mean, Wallaball does good. Awesome.
By the way, it's Bill Brecken is the defensive coordinator.
Well, like I said, again, I mean, getting defensive
coordinator. Yeah, he was at one point an assistant at Notre Dame, but that's about it.
Intern.
I mean, he's got a pretty good pedigree, man. That's not bad. But yeah, Damian, like I said, we their defense is they lost their 5 top tackles.
5 of their top 6, yeah.
So I mean, yeah, Damian, like we should be blowing those guys out.
Oh, for sure.
And you know, like I said, I mean, it's a good test for our offensive line is in a little bit of a transition. And so, with that said, this is going to be a good test for them, especially because you're coming out of the gate playing Florida too. And I think, you know, I'm trying to look past Miami Ohio because Miami Ohio they deserve the respect that they deserve the respect.
Yeah,
you know their team is going to win the MAC, and like I said, they're defensively, they're probably in a transition like we are on offensive line,
right?
But offensively, they're solid. And looking over our defense. I was looking at it yesterday, and I really do believe this. I think Kentucky's defense is going to be as good as 2018. I'll go ahead and say it.
Ooh, that's a bold statement.
It is, and I know that team involved, one of the best players ever.
Yeah.
Kentucky's history, probably the best player ever in Kentucky's history.
Yeah, Josh Allen.
Yeah, but I just don't. I look across the board. I don't see any weaknesses. I was worried about defensive backs, but it looks like we are solid.
Dude, they did a great job vamping up the secondary this offseason. Just going to throw that out there.
What is that now?
They did a great job on the secondary during the offseason.
Oh, yeah, dude. Oh, big time.
Because there's some big questionable spots going into the offseason, and I came out feeling way better.
Oh, I did too. And, overlooking that thing, I'm like, man, where's their weakness? It's just kind of going through. Our defensive line.
Our defensive line is nasty.
It is a good defensive line. You got J.J. Weaver. You're obviously going to have Wright at some point.
Yeah.
Our all linebackers, you got Oxendine back too, which is going to be big time.
I'm excited for Oxendine.
You know, you got Jones. Plus,
what's his name? Lonnie Walker. They're talking about supposed to be an absolute stud.
Oh, yeah. They say that guy's going to get a lot of playing time. A freshman, too.
Yeah, two freshmen's going to get that kind of playing time. Jesus.
How about a fat boy having number zero? How do you feel about that?
Who got zero?
Walker.
Did he really?
Yeah. Big boy's going to have number zero.
Dude, I might have to get me a zero jersey. What kind of
stuff? Yeah, that's pretty legit. That's legit, bro. I'll take it. And I'm all, and the guy I'm most excited for on defense is Geiger, but Weaver, man, this is gonna be his year to really break out and really show that. Like, because I'm telling you, before he got hurt at that Mississippi State game, he was the best linebacker.
Oh, absolutely.
And he was doing everything. They're like, man, this guy's good linebacker. And I think and obviously squares last year. He's gonna give it all, and I just think across the board. Valentine, Smith, you got your nickel guy's going to be, Phillips, and you're going to get the true freshman's going to play. There's going to be a lot of freshmen playing this year. Dane Keyes is the number two wide receiver with Brown.
Right.
I mean, you're going to get a lot of – this is a hell of a recruiting class we just brought in.
I mean, it's – I'm excited, man. I'm super excited for this game.
I am too. I'm super excited too. And like I said, I do think this is a good test for us. I think Miami Ohio is a good solid team to start with. I think we're gonna get something out of this game.
Yeah.
And I think we should be excited for this year. We should be looking forward to this year. We should be sold out that first game.
Right.
I would say almost every game is gonna be sold out besides probably Youngstown State. That's a noon game. Maybe Vandy will be another one, but this one's probably gonna be sold out, man.
I think so.
So, I just think it's our year. It's our year to do something. You're seeing all the hype, 11-1, stuff like that. And also, you find it kind of weird that Kentucky being 20th?
Yeah, it's very. I mean, it's the first time in our lifetime we're ranked.
What'd you say? I can barely hear you.
First time in our lifetime we're ranked top 20 preseason.
Yeah, damn. Every poll, I mean, we're.
Yeah.
I think Kentucky got kind of shafted on that. You can't. But when you haven't done it in your lifetime, I mean.
Yeah.
You can't
right.
About 20th.
Right. I mean, you always argue, though, if you can break the top 10, you're set. Because even if you lose a game, you just wait for other people to lose, right back in there.
Well, that's the thing. This new format of, the New Year's Six where they take, they take the next highest ranked. Because it's always going to be Alabama and maybe a second one.
Yeah.
And then they take the next highest ranked SEC school. And if you finish second in the East and second in the West, then you're, like this past year, Ole Miss, we both had same record. Ole Miss was ranked higher. They took Ole Miss. And then we got left out. So it's like, what are you going to do? We're outside the top 10. And that's why, people like Notre Dame and stuff like that, people, they're always overrated because those teams, they start off, Notre Dame's fifth. No one in the planet thinks Notre Dame's fifth. No one. They play Ohio State. They're a two-touchdown dog.
Right.
As the number five team in the nation to Ohio State, they're going to get blasted. What Notre Dame does is they'll win the rest of their games, and they'll still make a New Year's Six.
Yeah.
But by beating no one.
And they get blasted again, or they'll play somebody that's really not that good.
So, yes. Yeah, I agree. But at the end of the day, man, how are you feeling? So what's your predictions? Who you like it in this game? Who you like it off? Let's go on the offensive side of the ball. Who you like on the offensive side of the ball in this game?
Offensive side? I think I'm going to go the easy route here. I think Levis has a big game. I bet he throws for three and runs for one, maybe two.
Sure, man. He'd be done.
I mean, Grant, I wouldn't be surprised, though, if Levis is done by the end of the third.
Oh, end of the third? Really?
Yeah.
That soon?
Yeah.
I think they'll probably play. I don't disagree with that. I think they're not going to try to get him hurt.
Right.
I don't think they really want him running around this game unless he has to.
No, I don't think. I think he runs one in just because he sees a lane, he just takes it.
I think actually, I'm gonna go with Smoke. I actually think Smoke's gonna Smoke really
has a big game. Yeah,
I do. I think Kentucky gets on them early. I think Kentucky's gonna be hyped up. I know people get kind of worried about Stoops and playing down opponents, stuff like that. I mean, that's kind of stuff that they've done
right.
pretty much his entire tenure here. But I think this year the hype. People, I think it's going to be a packed crowd. The crowd's going to keep them going. I do think it's going to be a big time. And I think offensively, I'm going to go with Smoke. I think Smoke's going to have, I'll say 120 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah, that's a solid game.
Yeah, I do. I think so. And I think he'll play the whole game.
Yeah.
And I think this game he will get that 20 to 30 carries. I do think that.
You think so? Yeah. I can see that.
Because I think they're going to try to establish some sort of ground game with this new offense.
Yeah.
And I think that the offensive line is particularly inside the offensive line with Manning, Cox, and we'll be Horsey. But yeah. I think particularly in there, I think they're really strong inside tackles.
Dude, that's a nasty inside the tackles right there.
I think the inside interior line is very, very good this year. And I think you're going to see a lot of that north to south. Now, I could be totally wrong on that, whatever. But I just think inside there, that's your strength. The tackle, obviously, Flax is going to be good. I think he's made it. I think Wally's going to be fine too. But
yeah,
but I think at the end of the day, I think Goodwin's probably starting by the end of the year, or at least splitting time. He'll be in there. They're going to be rotating now.
Yeah, I'm excited. He's going to get playing time. I'm excited to see him come in the game.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a monster, and the big thing about him this year, man, the big thing that I heard was the kind of best thing I've heard about it is he's excited right now. He's good. Yeah. He's loving playing football because he's so used to beating up on guys that are like 100 pounds less than him. That he's actually able to hit guys the same size as him. That's exciting to him.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I like that.
That's a good take. When I heard that take, I was like, that's a good point. This guy's probably his entire life has played people that were smaller than him, not as talented as him, and now he's actually out there playing guys that are his size. He actually gets to get pushed around.
Right,
it gets pushed, and that gets you hyped. You know, that's how you get going.
Oh, for sure.
You know, some of these guys they don't get tested enough, and then when they get there, you know, Matt Elam, they get there right. And they kind of fold. But sounds like Goodwin is he would probably if he wasn't a true freshman, he would be starting. I mean, I hate to put it that way. He wasn't a true freshman without any kind of experience, he would have been starting. If he had been in the program for a year, he'd been starting. I think he would have started day one, but I think they're going to roll him out because you don't want to get a guy out there against Miami Ohio Austin. He's getting abused out there and his confidence shot.
Exactly.
So let him he's gonna take his lumps, but let him rotate in and out.
Yeah. No, and he's gonna take lumps against Florida and other SEC games. But you know what? It's all learning. It's all just making him better.
Yes, I agree. And he is and it sounds like he is every bit as advertised that good. I mean,
yeah, luckily for him, he has one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the country playing for him. So if he does get beat, our quarterback will still make a move.
Yeah, but it's impressive that he's actually second string behind second string on left tackle.
Oh, absolutely. That's an important spot. Incredible.
So, I mean, it's pretty impressive that he's able to do that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at the end of the day, man, I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what the offensive line's going to look like. You know, we always hear – every year and year out, we worry about the offensive line. And we lost this guy. We lost that guy. But it seems like every year they come in and they perform and they're the strength of our offense. That's really a credit to Stoops and his staff. And you know, they've had three different coaches now. This will be the third coach in 3 years. Right. And it's, you know, it's impressive, man, that they're able to perform at a high level. And this year we're going to get more back to the big blue wall. We're actually rotating around. Yeah. You know, more that John Schlarman type of rotation. You know what I mean? Yeah, I still can't hear you again, man.
Oh, is that better?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That constant rotation is beating the shit out of somebody. And then you bring in a fresh lineman that's just as good as the guy in front.
Yeah, I mean that's
what made Schlarman so great is he's constantly the second string guy was just as good as the first string.
Well, that you get guys. That's why your offensive line was always able to stay really good because you had guys every year that had experience. You know, you had depth there. I mean, you had guys. Oh, it's not such a big deal. You'll move it to next year because this guy's already played, you know, half the season last year.
Yeah.
You know, he just wasn't a starter.
Right.
So, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you like. Always fresh. You know, you have a good depth there. And you're never going to be left with inexperience. Like, this year, we're left with inexperience. Oh, guys that literally didn't play a snap last year. And it's like, wow, like what happened last year? That's kind of why I think that wasn't a good fit for us.
No, he wasn't. So on paper, he seemed like he's a good fit, but the way he did things, he wasn't a developer.
No, he just wanted to develop the first five guys, and we'll rotate, you know, like a seven-man rotation instead of the 9-to-10-man rotation that we were used to. And there you go. That's what they, you know, you could do that at Alabama and stuff like that because guys are all in. But Kentucky, you need guys. Our guys, our three, four-star linemen need reps, man.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you get better. And that's how you figure out if they're good enough to stay or not. So hopefully they picked out the right rotation this year. So I know we stuck on the offense there, but now let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. So what are you feeling like defensively in this game? Are you looking for something? Are you
going to be
train wreck? I mean, what's going to kill or what?
No, I want to see what we were talking about earlier, the secondary, if they're as good as I think they are in my head. Because this guy throws the ball really well, and they're good offense. They're very explosive offense.
They're air raid. I mean, they're technically an air raid.
So, I want to see how our secondary handles it. I want to see if the D-line can get pressures. I'm not worried about backers. Our backers are solid.
I think the linebackers are solid. I think, honestly, Wallace is a starter, too. Yeah. You know, they play one as a backup, but I think that guy would start.
Yeah.
You know, I think they owe something to Jones and Square for coming back. You know, those guys got to play.
But Trayvon Wallace should be getting 50% of the snaps on defense, at least.
I would be surprised if he's starting by the end of the year over one of those guys, or at least doing 50-50.
Yeah.
It's because he's a guy you got to keep in the program. You got to keep that guy happy.
Yeah.
He's got to play.
He's the future, yeah.
Yeah, he's the future. Nothing against Jones or Square. Those guys have been great.
Yeah, and he's too talented not to be on the field.
Yeah. This team is going to be good for years to come. Yeah. We got a lot of young guys.
Oh, yeah.
And you also have, you know, Valentine's going to take that leap this year. I feel confident about that. And I think Geiger's going to be.
Dude, I think Geiger might be one of the best in the league this year in college football.
I think he might. He might be an All-American when it's all said and done.
Dude, I think he. I really think so, man.
You're talking about the future. That's the future right there. That guy.
And you know who was big having coming back? Was Ajon Terrell.
No, I agree. How big is that become? With what's his name being out? Tisdale being out. That's a huge return.
Yeah. But that was nice because there was a stretch there where we didn't think he was coming back.
Yeah, but y'all keep this in mind too. Jordan Lovett was very good in spring practice.
Yeah.
So he's also got to come in there and play safety very well too. So. Yeah. In the safety position, Kentucky has been set for several years now at that position. That makes me feel a lot better. You have a good safeties. That kind of helps out your corners, at least not
good safeties. Injured. And you have experience back there.
Yeah.
You know, you get a good mixture of young and experience. So, like, that's huge.
I agree. No, that's defensively, the guy that I'm looking forward to this week is I think Justin Rogers is going to have a big game up front. It's kind of finally, it's his turn. A huge recruit, you know, as big as a recruit getting here as Goodwin was, really.
Yeah.
A very important signee for us. And I think Goodwin gets in there, and I think it's his time to shine.
Dude, I think Oxendine, before he got hurt, was on pace to have a monster year.
I agree. That's going to be helping us out.
I'm excited just to see him back, see what he looks like full speed. I'm pumped for it.
Yeah, I think Oxendine's going to have a big year. I think defensive line overall is very, very good. Yeah. I mean, deep. Deep. And that is
big time. Really comes down to the secondary. If they're as good as we think they should be, this team's going to be unbelievably good. Like you said, maybe 2018 good.
I think the front seven is definitely 2018 good. I think Geiger and Jai's are good.
Yeah.
It's just really, you're right, the corners, man. You got like those corners. We had some solid corners from the 2018 team, so we got to – Yeah. I got to step up their game. And I think Valentine's going to make that leap this year. I really believe that.
And the difference, though, between this and 2018, really break it down. The secondary is great, but Josh Allen's what made that 2018 defense.
Yeah, overall, I think overall we're better this year.
Every position we're better except for Josh Allen and maybe a couple secondary, a couple DBs.
Yeah, I mean, that team had, obviously,
Edwards. You also had Mike Edwards.
Darius West. Yeah. It had
It has studs, but if you look at the line and linebackers, Josh Allen's what made that team so good at sacks.
Yeah, because like you're definitely upgraded from Cash Daniels. You're definitely upgraded from – it's only – because Because what's his name? Wasn't even playing yet. Davis.
Davis, yeah. Jordan, Jamin Davis.
Jamin Davis wasn't even playing yet. I think Square.
Started. You had Boogie.
That's right. You also had Chris Oates. That's right. Chris Oates was pretty solid.
Chris Oates was going to be so good.
Yeah, he was. Then you had – who else you had, man? You had a pretty decent team. A pretty decent team. But, yeah, you're right. Josh Allen made that team really
good. But this team, just like – this year's team across the board is deep and legit.
Yeah, and I think they're deep. That's the big thing, too. But you're right. I mean, the corners, we got kind of a – they kind of put the corners together almost kind of late.
Yeah.
But I think overall they've done a really good job. I mean, the guy from Ole Miss, they got a lot of experience there. So,
yeah.
But Smith from Ole Miss, and then you also, as I said, Valentine played a lot of snaps last year.
Yeah.
So overall, I think, like I said, my guy this week's going to be Justin Rogers. Sounds like yours is Oxidine. I don't think you can go wrong with anyone on defense. I think it's going to be big time.
No, I think so. Like I said, I want to see secondary. I mean, it could be Geiger with like three picks. You never know. I mean,
yeah, you never know. Yeah. I think. You don't predict a defensive touchdown this week, or
you know what? I think I might. I
feel that frog.
No, I'm not predicting defensive touchdown. I'm predicting a strip sack return for a touchdown.
Whoa!
Yeah,
I think there'll be a pick six. I do have a feeling for that.
I think there's going to be a strip sack return for a touchdown. You go ahead and count it. I mean, you might as well just start the game off at 7-0 and get over with.
So, all right. So what's your score, man?
I think we come out. I know I'm a homer here, but you're telling me Stoops doesn't know the importance of this game just to set the tone for the season, all the hype behind it. We need to come out big, and we need to beat them big. I'm thinking 56-17.
I like the 56, but I ain't going to pick 56 because you just picked it, but I do like that. I think it's going to be like a 49-14. I think 14's high.
Yeah.
17
is the highest total, I think, possible.
But I do think after like, I hate to be this guy, but I think after like the first quarter, it's probably going to be like, I think at halftime, I think it's going to be like 21-7 or something, man. I think it's going to be pretty, like, close enough for you. Or you stick around.
I think we just lean on them so much coming. I don't know if it goes half. I mean, halftime might be like a 28-7. I just think we lean on them so much that by halfway through the third, it's just one of those games that's like every time we get the ball, we score.
Well, really, like, the big thing is we really just need to clean up. We need to clean up turnovers from last year. That was bad.
Yeah, last year's start off with turnovers was terrible.
I think you'll see. I do think we'll have a couple turnovers this game.
Yeah, which is how I got the 17. I think they get field goal range, and then maybe a couple of short fields.
I think at halftime it's gonna be like 21-7. I think it's gonna be close at halftime, and it's because they are gonna come out hyped, ready to go. But Kentucky, for whatever reason, they don't have a killer mindset until someone gets in their butt at halftime, you know?
Yeah.
And then it'll come out, and then it'll make it like, you know, 42-7. Then all of a sudden, Hogan will come in and get a touchdown, 49-7 or something. And then they'll score like a last second touchdown or something. Like 14, you know, I think 49-14 is a good score for that game. I don't know. Maybe it won't be. Maybe it'll be a lot closer. Kentucky likes to play close. They always overlook people. So, wouldn't be surprised if it's a close game and everybody's picking Florida. It doesn't matter. If it's a close game, we win.
Yeah.
That Florida spread will be even juicier. So.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's – yeah. I'm good with it.
I think it's going to be the worst Florida team we play.
Same page here. And I would – you know, if it's close, I would like the Florida game to be close spread because I'm going to fucking unload on it.
Yeah, I am too. I actually hope Florida beats Utah. I think this is going to be one of the worst Florida teams we've ever faced since we've been alive. Because they
think Florida beats Utah?
I hope Florida. I don't think they will.
I hope Utah's Florida beats them. Pretty legit this year.
Yeah, this was the people picking them for like the playoffs and stuff. People picking UK 11-1, but I think this is going to be the worst Florida team, particularly up front Florida team, particularly up front that we've ever seen in our lifetime, in our entire life. This is going to be the worst Florida team in our entire life as far as talent wise.
Right.
Now they can coach them up. They can win in the swamp because it is a swamp. They'll probably still beat Tennessee. They've beaten Tennessee even their worst years. But they'll be in a bowl game. But I think talent-wise, this is probably the biggest gap Kentucky's ever faced Florida with a talent-wise.
I agree.
Particularly up front. They have skill position. Florida's always going to have skill position, guys. But particularly up front, their lines are – their defensive line particularly is not very good. I mean, on paper, you know, they all could play out. They can go out and blow out Utah and be like, oh my God. But I mean, I hope they beat Utah. I hate playing Florida at the Swamp off a loss. But same time, I mean, if they beat Utah, I'd be a lot more nervous about that game.
Right.
So it tells me they're a lot better because Utah is a good team.
Yeah, Utah should be solid.
So, but getting ahead of ourselves, new season. We're ready to go. We're hoping Sugar Bowl at least. We're hoping SEC Championship.
I mean, I booked my room in Atlanta. How about you, Nick?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I wish those days are numbered, my friend. Or those days are gone with a kid now.
Those
will be last minute buys. Those will be last minute buys. Let's just put it that way. So, but no, if they make it to Sugar Bowl, man, it's gonna be really hard for me not to go to that.
Right. No,
I'm never been to New Orleans. I'd love to go. Mike's been there. He loves it. He went there partially for his honeymoon a little bit. I mean, obviously, y'all went on cruise and stuff, but he was there. Been there. You've been there since then, haven't you?
I've been there a few times. Yeah, I love New Orleans. It's one of my favorite cities.
So you know, good vibes for Mike there. Yeah. They beat Louisville that year in 2017. There.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Mike has to get through. He's got a 5-year anniversary coming up this year, and it's on Georgia weekend.
Yeah, the Georgia Day is the day of my 5-year wedding anniversary.
So Mike's marriage may end this year.
So if anybody knows a good divorce lawyer, let me know.
Well, I don't know, man. This is it's good times. It's good time to be a UK football fan. I know all the rivalry stuff. Listen, if you just started watching football and you don't want to. You don't understand all the stuff that happened with Stoops and Cal and why Stoops did what he did, then you just haven't watched football enough, man. He's just that kind of guy. He's always going to go to battle for his guys. You got to appreciate that.
Absolutely.
It's a good team. You know, and we've had some blunders on recruiting this past year or past couple weeks. But new season, hopefully this year, you have another 10-win, 11-win season. That'll even make your recruiting efforts even easier.
Yep. So,
We're what, man? What is it? 4 days away? God.
4 days away. I know. I can't wait.
It's one of the best things ever. Best times of the year. Obviously when NFL goes too, you got that on Sundays. But Kentucky football and especially me and Mike going to these games. We've been going consistently for 16 years. Been in the same spot now for what? 9 years?
9 years now, yeah.
And I mean, we're obviously going before that, but since we've been in college, we don't have to, you know, we're not juvenile. We don't have to tell people we're going. Since we were able to go every week without any kind of worry of parents or anything, it's been a 16-year run on that, man. That's pretty good. We'll miss a game here or there, but I think probably in 16 years, we probably maybe only missed.
We average about one game a year.
One game a year, sometimes two. So I'd say all together in 16 years, probably 20, less than 20, probably 18 games.
18, like I was going to say, that sounds about right.
18, 20 games.
20 tops. Years. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a seven year. We had a lot. We went a lot in high school. Obviously, we went as a lot as kids with our parents. But as far as being an adult from 18 on, I think, you know, if you do 7 home games a year, 16 years, that's, you know, almost 100. That's over 100 games. We've only missed 20 of them. I mean, that's even a high number. That's probably not even that high, but still, that's because we went years without even missing a game. So, it's been a fun run. And finally, like I've said over and over again every year, if you're a struggling football fan like me and Mike have our entire life, this has been the most fun I've had in Kentucky football. And I love the Rich Brooks years. They were great. But these are actually Kentucky teams that people actually take serious.
Absolutely.
And don't say, oh, is this a fluke or they're going to have to get some luck here to beat. People are actually picking Kentucky to beat the defending national champions.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty sad that they're picking insane. Tennessee too. That's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, that's sad. We should be, if we're getting picked to beat Georgia, we should beat those teams.
Yep. So. But until we can prove we can beat Tennessee on a regular basis, they're going to keep picking them.
The big thing for Kentucky and Mark Stoops this year is they have to make a New Year's Six. I don't care how they do it. They can lose to Tennessee and Florida or lose to Tennessee and whoever. But they have to make a New Year's Six with the talent they have this year at quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because this is Will Levis. right now as far as hype goes. We, you know, he hasn't put it on paper. I still think – I still hold Andre Woodson to high regard, in my opinion. Yeah. But as far as hype and NFL-ready quarterback that we've had, it's him, Tim Couch.
Yep.
Those are the two.
Exactly.
They made it to
– Do you come in with a Heisman hopeful quarterback? I mean, I placed a bet earlier this summer that he would win the Heisman.
I did too. $5, $500. That's a pretty, it's pretty good pretty good odds for me.
Yeah, I'll take it.
If Kentucky goes to the New York Six Bowl, he's gonna be in New York. He may not win it, but he'll be up there. So it'd be end up being a good bet. But yeah, it starts week one, man. You can't
like I said, man, we gotta come out ready, and I think Stoops knows this. Rich got, I can never say that fucker's name. Scanalgo, whatever, our offense coordinator.
You got Scagarillo.
Scagarillo, yeah. No, you Skaggs, gotta be Skaggs. Yeah, Skaggs, yeah. Perfect. My dyslexic brain can't handle that pronunciation. yeah, they know how important this game is, and they know, surely God, they know they have to come out and beat the shit out of Miami, Ohio.
I think so. I think you got to set the tone. And then the next week, you know, like I said, you got to set the tone for Florida. You don't want to come out with a bad taste. You want to get some good reps, and you know, hopefully we do get a fourth quarter rest, because Florida's not resting against Utah, no matter what.
No, that game's going down game. To the wire, no matter what, for their starters.
I agree, but. Yeah, I guess you're right. You gotta get a good feel for the season. Get the fans involved. You don't get any kind of worry, because even in 2018, who did they play, Mike? Do you remember who they played the week before? It was Central Michigan.
Yeah, and we struggled.
It was like 21-12 or something. It was like kind of a stupid score. It was a struggle game. It was like, man, there's no way we're beating Florida in the swamp, man.
Yeah.
And then they did, and then that kicked off the whole season. You know.
Oh yeah.
And you know, you got to do that this year, and hopefully not be as worried. Especially when this Florida is this bad, you got to beat them on their bad.
Right.
And like I said, I mean, Florida's not going to stay down forever. But the next couple of years, we all beat them.
Right. We should start taking some of the recruits, maybe.
Yes, I agree. You got to start building up a, you know, 3-4-5 game win streak against them.
Right.
And so you're right, Mike. It's going to set it up. And of course, I'll be at the lake for, I guess you'll be there too, for the Florida game, Warsaw. You know, we get to go back to Warsaw, Kentucky. So anyone, shout out to Warsaw, Kentucky. You might be from there.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Great place.
We'll be broadcasting from there.
Yeah. We'll be live from the Craig's Creek.
Live from Craig's Creek. Get to watch UCF stop Louisville, and then we're going to watch UK demolish Florida in the swamp. Yet again, we watched it in 2018 down there. For my bachelor party, it's good times, man. Good times right now.
Yeah, can't wait.
But it starts this week one. Like, what would you do if we lost week one?
Oh, I would
crushed.
Oh, it'd take a lot for the season not to be ruined.
You would crushed. I mean, totally crushed.
Dude, yeah, I would be depressed. I probably wouldn't talk to anybody for like a week.
That Southern Miss loss was a crushing loss for me too.
That was, yeah.
Because we were coming off a 5-7 year where we started the year before 5-1, and then he lost like last six or something like that.
Yeah.
And that was crushing. And so, you know, to lose to Southern Miss, and then to lose your quarterback too, and you get smoked down in Florida, you're like, man.
Yeah.
And then to make a bowl game was, you know, obviously we all know what happened there. Say year saved his job. And here we are. But anyway, so I guess we'll get off here. And I'm Nick.
I'm Mike. Go Cats.